today we're going to do one thing that's new, which is we're going to have a vote at the end, a straw vote, because the plan is at sketch plan, and the panel would like to do a straw vote to see if they support the project. In addition, we will have public comment at the very end of the presentation. It looks like we have about 6 people here from the public. So we'll reserve that to the end, and after we have the panel actually give their comments. All right, so let's begin.
First, I want to let our team introduce ourselves, and then we'll start the presentation. I'm Doug Furstenberg with Stonebridge Caris, part of the development team on the project.
David Cerniglia with Stonebridge Caris as well, development team.
Bob Dalrymple with Linus and Blocker.
Matt Gordon with Linus and Blocker.
And Jad Donahoe with Donahoe Companies.
Chris Brew with Donahoe.
Evan Weiser with Donahoe.
Jared Luce with Ewing Cole.
Mike Goodman with Vica.
I'm Steve McDaniel, architect with Ewing Cole.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here. And as I was joking earlier, I mean, we announced what this project is yesterday, which is probably an important element in informing you on what the design is. We've been looking for a while and have been working for months now with Donahoe and Ewing Cole to really bring a new type of product to Montgomery County. Montgomery County's got a huge biomarket, 8 million square feet, all up the 270 corridor, none of it in an urban location. And the idea for us was really looking around. Everywhere else was talking about bio in Cambridge, bio in the East Bay, bio in Manhattan now. And we're, as some of you know, we've done a lot of development in Bethesda, and we're sitting there looking at NIH, the largest funder of bio research in the world, and going, why aren't we creating an urban bio market in Montgomery County? And the Donahoe has controlled a fabulous site at 8280, folks we've known for decades, and came up with this idea that this was the right place to launch it. While I'm not sure every building needs to be on Wisconsin to create a bio cluster, that first building being here is important. The new sector plan gives this site an opportunity to be a real gateway building because it has additional height over some project that Mr. Dove might like, which is the top there, Flats 8300, that we developed, that WDG was the designer of, but it's 90 feet. So we really have this opportunity to create a great gateway building. You and Cole will take you through it, but the height changes. There's a real high point at Jones Bridge. You come way down, and then you come back up. So there's a lot of opportunity to do some very interesting things. And there are obviously a lot of constraints. It is a very small site for commercial development, which is an issue. We want floors over 20,000 feet for office or for labs. There, the site's just not that big. At this part of Bethesda, there's an additional right-of-way for the BRT. So part of our design is trying to address needing to be back 9 additional feet for 15 feet of height, and then we're allowed to go back out. So try to use the creativity to do that. Obviously trying to respect the design guidelines in every way we can to try to make this work. And so we think we've come with a very exciting product type, a very exciting design, and as opposed to our 7373 project where we were kind of at the end when we came to you, we're now at the beginning. So I think this is an opportunity for us to present our ideas and get your feedback. Our plan is to file for site plan in about a month, which means then we will be bringing back to the DAP our updated design, our final design that we're planning to submit as part of the site plan package. So with that, I'm sure you'd love for me to go on forever, but I'll actually turn it over to Jared from Ewing Cole to walk you through the design.
Thanks, Doug. I'm Jared Luce with Ewing Cole. It's great to be back down here. My last building in Montgomery County is just completing down here at G21, at the intersection right down here of Colesville and Spring for United Therapeutics. So that was another, we feel that's a gateway building. Here's another opportunity to do a real different gateway building. Just to orient everyone, here's Wisconsin and Battery, so we are right on the corner here. And Doug already talked about some of the adjacent properties. Steve, why don't you get our next one? So we also have Rosedale kind of intersecting, so we're at an interesting corner and with an interesting opportunity. And as Doug mentioned, the site is only 19,000 square feet in footprint. So while we have some real opportunities here to do something interesting, we're also constrained in some ways with the footprint and what we need for a bio building. So we've gotten creative. We've tried to take the guidelines into consideration and try to make everything work to make this project a reality. So I'm going to let Steve explain the details of the project.
Thanks, Jared. I'm sure you're familiar with this area, so you recognize all these viewpoints. And you can see we've shown the site there in all of them. On the upper left, you're looking from Rosedale. The upper right, of course, you can see we're in between the 8200 building on the left and the 8300 building on the right. The lower left view is looking past the 8300 building to the 8200 building, and again, we're in between those two, looking towards the south. And then a really important view from Jones Bridge, stepping back much further, and really giving you a nice feeling for how much green space there is, right? As you drive through this part of Bethesda, you're really driving past lawns and trees with the occasional building, with NIH on the right. And so what we're talking about with the gateway is that this is really when you enter the more dense part of Bethesda. So that's why it's a significant point to us, that you're going from this kind of landscaped green garden buildings into serious urban context. And this is just a sketch of what happens if you take a 17,500 square foot floor and extend it up to the height limit. So it's kind of what we called our starting point, just what would happen there, just as an available, you could call it an available building opportunity. Of course, that's not what we're doing. And here, if you got close to it, you'd see how it does, even in this blocky version, it does block out the 8200 building. We spend a lot of time looking at examples of buildings that did two things at the same time. One is that were designed in a way to break down their mass, which kind of affects how the building fits into a city. But just as important, a lot of these buildings have a nice way of acknowledging the pedestrian. So that means they're doing two things at once, right? Breaking themselves down to feel like part of the city, but also doing things at the very lower part of the building to make it a nice thing to walk by, a nice thing to experience on foot. And here we got more specific with buildings we really liked. Particularly on the upper left, we looked at these materials as being possibly very informative. So we liked on the upper left the metal panels that have kind of a tech look to them that's expressive of a biotech building. We also liked in detail there that warmer colored metal panel that makes it a nicer thing to experience as a person. And we really liked how those combine with the stone base. And you'll see in our design, we're using all those elements. The tech-oriented metal panel, the warmer colored metal panel as an accent, and the stone base so that the building meets the ground in a very nice way. So this is an important diagram for us to explain what we're trying to accomplish here. And starting with item one is just a simple acknowledgement of the corner. A corner is always an important place in a city. It's a meeting point. It's a place where people can be oriented to. So we chamfered the corner as our first move. Then, being cognizant of the guidelines, we put a dotted line around the building, 72 feet high, and we looked at the potential of step backs to follow the guideline and to make the building a good neighbor. At the same time, and this is what we really love about the design, at the same time we did number three, which is to make these vertical slots in the building. And one of them is similar to the building you know well on the upper right, where there's a slot with a stair inside it.
That's the new headquarters that we're building for Park.
Yeah, so one of these slots on the left of that block is also a stair slot, so it'll be lit at night, and it'll be a nice experience to walk by it. And again, it helps to break down the mass, as in those precedent images that I showed you. So the critical thing is here, we're not doing just two, and we're not doing just three. We're trying to do two and three together. Two, because the guidelines want to have every building be a good neighbor. And three, because we're really trying to work on this concept of a gateway building. And that vertical element at the corner, we really feel like announces that this is a building that connects the purpose of the NIH, which is biomedical research, with the town. So then, what do you do when you combine one, two, and three? You get number four, and that's really our design, which is trying to do all these things at once, which are all ways of making a very strong building, but a building that has a limited footprint. So that's why the various moves we're doing are somewhat gentle moves, because we really can't afford to eat too much into our floor plate, because we must have a viable building that that laboratory tenants and bio office tenants can work with. We've put extra emphasis in the dot design and detailing of the corner and how the building comes to the ground. We've compared the heights of the neighbors, so you can see how our building fits in. This is the view along Wisconsin. And this is the other direction.
This east-west
battery. Right. Now this turns out to be important, because we want to be very careful about how our building meets to the ground relative to the neighbors. So you can see at our site where the building meets the ground is 27 feet from the curb, which is further back from the building to the south. It's further back than the building to the north as well. So, in other words, here you can see this is,
don't touch that screen.
This is 20 feet back, and this is 22 feet back. So we'll be further back than any of our neighbors. Here's our site plan that shows the same information. That's kind of a technical drawing, so I'll skip past that. And here you start to see the imagery that we're recommending, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on. And what we're trying to create here is a building that speaks to biomedical research, that has a feeling of being a place where science is done, a place where new medical treatments are discovered. So that's why the building doesn't look like other buildings in Bethesda, because this building has never been done in Bethesda. So we're trying to evoke the concept of research and serious study and discovering something new at the same time as we're trying to be a very good neighbor and very friendly to the pedestrians. You can see here, I don't know if this pointer works, but here is the point at the lower part of the building where we're 27 feet back. And then at the corner, after we go up about 38 feet, then the line of the building steps out 9 feet. Further down to the further south, the building comes up 24 feet and steps out 9 feet. And the idea here is to provide a protected area that that allows the building to be a good neighbor and to give us the floor plate we need on the floors above to satisfy the bio tenant requirements. So again, I mentioned the materials before on the precedent image. You can see the combination of metal panel and glass that gives you that tech feeling. You can see the warmer color metal panels used as an accent. And I think what's really nice is the stone base. And there are areas of stone coming all the way around the building, including these columns, which will connect it nicely to the sidewalk. Now, I also want to mention, here is our literal step back on Wisconsin. It's a 4 foot step back, and it's not just a step back, but the material changes, which we think is going to emphasize that difference. It's going to emphasize the step back. And even though we can't cut deeper into the floor plate, I think we're going to get increased impact from the step back by doing the different material. And over on the Battery Lane side, we're calling it a virtual step back, because there we really can't afford to cut into the building. But by using this material here, also over here, which has more glass, is more transparent, we think it provides a benefit similar to what a step back would provide, and it is one of the alternative methods that's in the guidelines. Here's the view looking in from Battery, and you can see the materials are similar on the west facade. When I show you the floor plan, I'll get into the design of why this surface looks like it does. But our intention is to treat the materials similarly around the whole building, so that it has, of course, facades that respond to their orientation, but at the same time, it's a single composition all the way around. Now here's the view again from Jones Bridge with the gas station that you can see there, the Sunoco station. And here's the view with our gateway building. And again, the idea that you're passing through trees and grass and research buildings at NIH, and then you come to a building that's a research building for Bethesda, the first research building for Bethesda, we think this is starting to work, and it's starting to make a statement that people will be able to relate to. Closer in, the Sunoco station in this view, and the big the big brick wall that you're all used to seeing, and then our building, which we think is even more effective the closer you get to it, because it has the detail and it has the design elements that create a nice entrance as well as fitting into the city. Thinking about the step backs in particular, anytime you introduce a new guideline into a place that's already got a lot of buildings, it's interesting to see how that plays out, right? Here, we think what's working really nicely here is that this strong line here makes a nice step back, but the vertical elements not only acknowledge the corner, but they all also acknowledge all the tall vertical buildings that have been built before the guideline existed. So we're comfortable that we've simultaneously followed the guideline and fit well into the town and made a statement at the corner. Here you can see the view from Rosedale. Of course, that's a lower scale community, and our goal here is to design an entrance that's in scale with the neighboring buildings. So
At one point, the sidewalk that Rosedale comes is offset from Battery. So one of the moves, if you looked at the site plan and the way we dealt with the bottom, was to address the fact that the neighbors would be coming, almost, you know, like walking into the building as opposed to walking to the corner. That was on the site plan or the street plan earlier.
Another way to say that is that that offset between Battery and Rosedale is sort of acknowledged by the chamfer. The chamfer kind of, if you imagine traffic or people as water flowing down a stream, that chamfer kind of helps the water flow, if you will. Here we have our first floor plan. The entrance is on Wisconsin, and the service is off of Battery Lane, and the entrance to the garage, which is below the building, is also on Battery Lane.
And one thing, just from a use standpoint, we're pretty committed to not doing retail here. We're actually planning to do labs on the ground floor. We just think it'll be exciting, it'll be dynamic, it'll be part of the message that we're doing, and we think it'll be a far superior experience. You looking in, seeing bright colors, some hoods, some really exciting things going on there, we think that's going to create a really great dynamic. So when you see tenant, you know, your first instinct is normally you expect that to be retail. Here we're really thinking it will actually be part of the building and its activity in terms of how we would use it.
Right. So this is our typical floor, and potential tenants in a building like this, and just so you know, I've been doing lab buildings for at least 25 years. If I said 30, that would make me sound really old. So we'll just leave it at 25. But what they really love is a big open space, especially now that many scientists are working in an open lab format. And the reason they do that is that almost all university and medical schools that get funding from NIH, our neighbor, right, they like to be able to change the amount of space that any scientist has depending on how that NIH funding grows and shrinks. So it's extremely appropriate that right here next to NIH, we'll be providing a building where they can do an open lab concept, which is all driven off of the NIH funding. So that's why all these core elements, the restrooms, the shafts, the elevators, and the stair are over on the west, so to allow an open lab planning area in the majority of the building. And as I mentioned, when I pointed to the west facade, that's what you're seeing here. And the treatment of that exterior will inevitably be somewhat different because there aren't as many windows there. But our intention is for it to still be a single composition wrapping around the whole building. This shows that the recess or reach out, however you look at it, on Wisconsin Avenue, and you can see the parking below, and the mechanical penthouse is well stepped back from the facade, except of course on the west where the shafts need to continue straight up. Here's the other direction of the section, and that's our last slide. So we're ready for your questions.
Great. So comments and questions.
I had a question about the distinction of the cantilever height. Was there a reason why you chose, I think you said it was 36 feet on the lobby and 24 feet kind of as you go further south on the building? Was that to frame the entrance? What was the reasoning behind that?
Two reasons. We liked the variety it gave to the building, and we also wanted to call out the entrance, so that's why the higher one is where you enter.
First off, I really like the concept of having this lab building here. I think it will help enrich Wisconsin. I think we all don't want to see Wisconsin become a totally residential street here now to the core. So I think that's great. I really like the material strategy you're talking about. I think I have real concerns that you're not meeting the design guidelines, particularly relative to the setbacks. I understand the requirements of a lab building because I've done some myself, but I think the guidelines got to be met, and you're really not meeting them relative to the setbacks. And I think one of the things that would help, and maybe some of the guidance that I give to you and future applicants that comes in, show us a demonstration of what's a literal interpretation of the design guidelines. You know, the setback required, the base required. It's not to say that there aren't places where a tower can't come to the street, and a portion of the tower can't come straight to the street, but right now it just doesn't appear you're really doing it the way the guidelines really are set forth.
And I guess to follow up on that, I kind of somewhat agree with what Rod just said. It would be helpful to see like what a strict interpretation of the guidelines would look like, as opposed to what you're proposing and why you're proposing that distinction. In this particular case, I like this project, the concept of the project. I actually like the design. I think, you know, the lobby, I think could be a little bit different, but for the most part, I like this, and I think a strict interpretation of the design guidelines on this project might be okay. I'm not quite there yet, but I think it should be fine. But I probably will have the complete opposite tune on other projects that we are looking at today. So, but I think it would be very helpful to kind of see what a strict interpretation would look like and why you're proposing a departure from it.
Yeah, I think there's a couple. I mean, one is obviously we're down to a 15,000 foot floor, I mean, just bluntly, which is a tiny, tiny floor. Two, and this won't come to any surprise to staff, when we were talking about what guidelines were supposed to mean and how little they were supposed to be taken all up and down the corridor. Casey read my email into the record for whatever that was worth. But to me, one of the things that we didn't really get to is there's a huge difference between stepping back 10 or 15 feet when you're doing a 290-foot building. Because the guidelines talk about, you know, if you're over 120, you're a tall building. There's a big gap between 120 and 290 feet. And so, you know, what is there an adjustment between those? And I think your question is a good one, which is show me a little 10-foot cut, 72 feet in the air, show me what that leaves you and what that would do from a design standpoint. I actually think that's a great question to ask because it really does put you, it juxtaposes where you would be versus what you've done, and I think that's a very fair question. So we will look at that. So, you know, what we are trying to do was balance this, and I think one of the things that we liked a lot was the vertical elements where they really carve the building. And I think since we're trying to do this, can you go back to the view from Jones Bridge?
Yeah.
So you're going the other way.
Yeah.
So, because to us, you know, inside and outside, right? Inside, we're trying to create opportunities for these researchers to look at NIH. I mean, that's like the two tenants we've talked to, that's a big deal. They just love the thought that they're looking at NIH. But also when we're coming in, we're trying to juggle this. How do we make it vertical? We do have 50 feet over flats 8300, which seems like a lot, but as you can see from the angles of everything, it gets hard. So if you look at this building and we really try to step back on the northern elements at 72 feet, that chop of the building, I don't think we would have a gateway building. And I think that's where, you know, your question, show me what would happen from a blocking standpoint. I think it would help really make that point about, okay, that doesn't look like much of a gateway building when you chop it off. And that's why I think what they were doing was trying to break these things up in vertical elements. And then as you go down Wisconsin, really try to set back. And whether it's 4 feet or 6 feet, I mean, you know, those are going back 15 feet would, you know, honestly destroy the floor. And the layout for tenants is the issue.
And all those moves, stepping back the entrance, letting that breathe, the vertical slot. When you look at this diagram, where does your eye go? Your eye goes to that entrance. Your eye doesn't go up. So everything we've done kind of draws your eye down, kind of reducing that bulk and that scale. And so, there, you know, design is not prescriptive, but I think we've achieved some of that.
And Bob, are you guys asking for additional height on this project?
No. We'd be happy to have it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
What is
that? I mean, honestly, 2 feet, it's 145. I mean, another two stories would make it a, but I mean, that we're not going there.
Go
yeah, go. I'm sure it'll be well received by everybody in the world. You know, and that is part of the challenge because 145 feet at a gateway building isn't that tall. But it's if you look at the context of the neighborhood, I think they did settle on the right height. So we are trying through design to accomplish a lot of different things. And I think you raised the question of sculpting at the base. I think there's two moves that are very important for the East Bethesda neighborhood. One is the chamfer corner without question, and the other is walking into a place where there is a setback so you're not coming in from that neighborhood, seeing something. You know, we come hard to the ground, but we come back just a little bit to be able to, I think it softens that pedestrian experience from the wet coming from the east, but also as you drive up, to Jared's point, it calls you into the building. And it really, I think it lets you look at something that feels tall and then invites you in. And that's when they showed us that design, and there was one precedent image building.
Yes.
That from Toronto that we really said, you look at that building, you feel like it's tech, but you also feel like you're really walking into something where you want to go.
I personally believe it is a small building in footprint anyway, and I think the idea of vertical slots is doing a lot for you. I think the breaking down facade along Wisconsin Avenue with the slight setback on the south part going up and then building to the corner is working well. I think this diagram is very interesting because of the 8300 vertical element and the tower seems to make almost a foil for that particular architectural statement, which I think they work well together. I think the materiality is going to be very successful. I don't think anybody disagrees about that. I do very much appreciate the way the 36, 37 foot setback at the lobby works and how it aligns with Rose Line and the diagonal on the corner. I think all of that is really working very well. We do have this philosophical problem, maybe it's not so much philosophical, but it is an issue of the setback requirements in the guidelines, and you're not the only people not fighting that, but trying to realize that in a way that is meaningful. I think that there may be some extenuating circumstances for this site, however. One, it's office, which is something we really need. Two, it's a whole new brand of direction, which I think, is, as we've already said, it's very exciting. Three, I think we have to be sympathetic to the fact that a 15,000 square footprint is a tough one from a commercial standard standpoint. And I think that there is room. I think Battery Lane, this location, is already identified as sort of a gateway situation with what we did, what you did on 8300 Wisconsin Avenue, setting back there. And I think that it's setting up for some sort of tower element on the corner that is not broken, in my humble opinion. And so I think you've achieved some very positive results here. How this ultimately comes out, I think the suggestions of seeing what a by the code representation might be would be helpful. But if it was up to me, I would say that the merits of the design and the way it is philosophically presented here today is very strong. And so I would have to be persuaded personally that deviating to a dogmatic setback might not be the best thing for this particular gateway situation. Too many words, I apologize.
We spoke for 30 minutes. You can have a couple. It's okay.
I essentially agree with that set of comments. The setback has always given me a little bit of pause because I can't imagine a whole street of setbacks. You know, I think we need to have soldier buildings that come down to the corner. And I think the relationship of approaching it from the east, I think, is actually quite excellent. I like the way the neighborhood, if you will, passes into the corner of the building. I think the gratuitous setbacks, I think, actually work pretty well. I'm a little bit concerned with how schizophrenic it is in terms of an overall single reading. It's almost idiosyncratic to the point of certain kinds of people are in those rooms and other kinds of people are in those kinds of rooms. And, you know, how do you divvy that up in terms of tenants?
You should have seen two iterations ago.
It's been
calming down, and trying to find that right balance is probably one of our biggest challenges, to be honest.
But I like the techiness of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little bit concerned about how one chooses which floor one's in, based on the presentation of those different elements.
Yeah, I mean, look. I think that the biggest struggle we've had after we kind of decide, you know, when you decide to break up and use the alternative techniques provided in the guidelines for the setback, it got the building so busy.
Yeah.
And we've been pulling it back. And, the question, and there's always that fine line, how far to pull back. And you don't want to, you don't want a glass building here. The metal is so integral to the tech feel we're getting. So we're constantly struggling, and we're going to keep refining that. The one thing that, you know, I think we're hopeful of here is that the tenants here will begin a cluster. You know, we want to create a biocluster in Bethesda. And so if we had to err on being a little strong versus a little weak, you know, in terms of that schizophrenia, I would be honest with you, I think you end up there. Because when you go back to me, when you get here, it starts to get busy. Can you go back one more seat? No, the other one.
The other one.
Because this, just making sure that statement when we're in NIH is still as strong, and that's the juxtaposition, right? How many urban buildings are we worried about with this much visibility? Are we 0.4 miles? I think we're 0.4. Half a mile away, you're worried about that much of the building actually being visible. So how do we balance all that? And then when you get close, make sure the fine grain doesn't overwhelm you.
In terms of your tenant selections and what their needs are, I keep thinking back to Conn's Medical Towers at the University of Pennsylvania and how all the tenants covered the windows because because of glare and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, is that,
you guys should understand that really well, right? I'm like, our Philadelphia-based firm here.
That lab building is famous for being great architecture in a very poor lab building.
Right.
So we won't be doing that.
The tinfoil they use.
The tinfoil.
Right.
You know, right. Which is, you know, look, one of the reasons we hired them is we've not done a lab building before, and we keep looking at the window ratio, going, that's... Is that good enough? And we've actually done a test fit for a tenant, and they're very, you know, with the way where, you know, what's interesting, I guess, is big evolution you were talking about is that you don't have lab floors anymore. They're a combination of cubes and offices and labs. And so the combination of having some glassy areas, but then having some areas that the way this tenant laid out, I mean, they dropped. They went to the northeast corner, and that is where all their offices and their cubes are, and their labs are everywhere else. And I was, you know, we're just seeing these things. But so at least, knock on wood, the first test of the floor, the diversity of the glass and the changing nature of it played very well in how the tenant was able to lay out.
And I think that's part of the charm of this project from an urban design standpoint is that it's not an innocuous box that everybody has the same opportunity, like all the other projects that we're seeing happen. And the use appeared to be flexible enough to accommodate those ins and outs, and that is architecturally sort of representing the variety of activities that may occur within this building. So it all pulls together in my mind again. And I think that's what's making this kind of a charming building.
Well, personally, I still would like to see a diagram of the compliance with the design guidelines.
I think it's almost like, why didn't we think of that, to be blunt? I mean,
every developer
should.
Absolutely. And quite frankly, I think, to be honest with you, we've been slack on kind of having the discussion relating all the projects to those guidelines. And I think the word's getting out there that the guidelines aren't being taken seriously.
Yeah, I think we took them seriously, but I don't think we made as clear. I mean, we provided some a diagram to staff that we could actually share with you that showed a little more granularly what we did and how we were thinking about it. But I think your point, go all the way to the extreme. Start with that and then do the reverse of what they did when we did the block. Go to the reverse and go all the way to the guidelines and then work our way back to kind of go, here's step by step why we did and why we think it works. And I think that's a very reasonable request to just.
Are you doing anything?
Wish we thought of it ourselves.
On the sidewalks, et cetera, in terms of landscape.
We will be. We haven't, and we really haven't significantly engaged.
You're looking for 25 points.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just as a minor point, I'm sure maybe it's a little too premature. The side street, what's the side street?
Battery.
That is designated as a canopy street, so you just need to pay attention to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the landscape effort is just cranking up now with our site plan submission, but.
The other thing I also do like the idea of exposing these labs on the ground floor. Mm-hmm. I've been working on the FDA project for 22 years now.
God bless you.
And, it is really interesting when you walk by those labs at grade and have the opportunity to look in. If you can keep the scientists that work in there, control their job, it's actually the right to look in.
Well, that was, I mean, look. We're,
and that's about activating the street, right?
That's exactly where it's, one of our thoughts is, you know, look, if you get an anchor tenant, you have to have an anchor tenant. If we don't have an anchor tenant that wants the ground floor, we're going to build spec labs. Because that'll allow us to really control the look and the feel and make it exciting. And if we want to create a cluster here, you're going to want people who are walking, to whether you get it or not, to create that intrigue. And hopefully this becomes a gateway. Because one of the things we looked hard when we were looking at where to put this bio building, because we actually looked hard at the Pearl District. And it was like, no, I mean, it wants to be up at NIH, putting it at the gateway. And the Woodmont Triangle is a great place to create a bio cluster. And just kind of, you know, as we've talked to these tenants, they're interested in being in Maine and Maine. I mean, they've got no interest in going to the Avocet Tower. I mean, that's not where they want to be. They want to be up here in funner buildings that have a little more, you know, different kind of life to them. And so doing that, that was really the idea at the ground floor, is you're kind of creating this ground level, let's get into the Woodmont Triangle and do some more of these.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think the scientists will be excited being in downtown Bethesda versus out in a suburban office park.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you look at every, I mean, if you look at every trend, right, everybody's coming in, and the challenge you have is, where in Bethesda can you do it? Because you give up a floor every three floors. I mean, this is not without cost to, when you're in a high-constrained market. I mean, we're doing 14.5 foot, which is kind of the minimum.
I was going to say that is minimum.
That's the minimum, but it's tested out. Okay, I mean, people understand in urban locations you're going to have to give up some things, but we're give up, you know, basically every three floors you're giving up a floor. You know, so balancing all of those things and getting it to work, there's a lot of challenges. And the matter is, when you build a vertical lab building, the chase space is brutal in terms of how much.
Yeah, I was going to ask why I'm not seeing more mechanical equipment up on the top of the roof.
Well, it's, if you go back to the precedent images on that, I mean, one of the things we do expect, and we think it's going to look really cool, but we don't want to overpromise because we don't know what the tenants are going to do. But we think there'll actually be, you know, some more equipment,
yeah, like,
peeking up.
Like that slide on the right.
This one or
yeah,
this
exactly.
one. And we've been working hard with Ewing Cole to make the screen as permeable as possible, because I think that's going to be part of the charm of this, in terms of, you know, we don't want to promise until you get your tenant. You know, we don't want to promise there's going to be six stacks when we end up with two. I mean, you just don't know. But that's where we put those precedent images in, because we think that'll be kind of the cap to creating the experience that there's bio here in Bethesda, and it's really cool looking, and it'll be fun. So those are the intents, but until we have a tenant telling us, you know, the basic equipment we're putting in is not very exciting. When you get the 365-day redundant, what is it, 40 exchanges an hour mechanical equipment in there, I mean, that's when you end up that kind of stuff. But there's a lot, there's a shaft space. If you go to the floor plan, there's the basic shaft space, and then literally we have doubles. We're going to knock out panels to be able to double the vertical shaft space.
Yeah, I noticed that shaft space.
Oh, don't touch anything. But, you know, where you see the dotted, I mean, that's the ability to double the shaft space size, because at the level that they're going to be doing things, we're going to probably be a lot more shaft space.
Are there any more comments from the panel? We can, if you would like to, we have about 15 minutes left, and we could take about 5 to 10 minutes from the public, and then we could have the vote and the comments on the benefit points. Are you okay with that? Okay, great. So, does anyone from the public want to speak? Great, thanks, Amanda.
Okay, so I'm Amanda Farber. I'm from the East Bethesda Neighborhood. And we really wanted to hear the presentation first before
sure.
jumping in with comments. I will say sort of like the word in the neighborhood is that people are very excited that it's going to be a biotech building. And personally, I like the tech look, so that's my personal opinion.
Well, as long as your personal opinion prevails, we're good. It's always easy to speak for a neighborhood.
I have just been three comments. First, going back to the step backs, because I followed the design guidelines and I'm following the projects coming in, and I sort of get the feeling that 10 years from now, people looking at the buildings who had no idea what the design guidelines were would think the design guidelines called for cantilevers, because that seems to be what's happening with a lot of these buildings. And even when there is a step back, it steps back a little bit and then it comes back out. So it's not just your building. We're seeing it a lot. And I think the expectation from the community was that there's going to be something a little different. Then two quick comments. The plan does call for a bike lane on Battery on this block. So that needs to be put in the plans. And there's problems on Battery right now. So because with the 8300 flats, that lane, that northern lane, is used as their delivery lane. And so you're talking about, this has been going on a long time. I don't know that that's ever going to be corrected. So you have to have the deliveries there. You have the bike lane there. You're taking away some curb cuts from the gas station. So that's a good thing. But you're also having your loading and your garage entry right there. So I just think that area there could be a lot of conflicts, and that needs to just be looked at closely. And then my last comment is that the vertical piece that you have on the corner,
can you go back
the
to
vertical that? Line, that's part of the design.
I want to make sure which vertical line.
Is that asymmetrical, or is that just how it looks in the rendering, or is it
intentionally
asymmetrical?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
But those other two are my real comments, the bike lane
okay.
and the issue with the step backs.
Okay.
Are there any other comments from the public?
Yes, thank you, Richard Hoyt. I like stepping out of my house near Bethel Synagogue on the knoll of Old Georgetown Road, looking down town and seeing the Crescent Building. It's not very high in the sky, but it's a signature building. I like the views that you've shown here of a signature building as a pedestrian and as a cyclist. One of my first thoughts is, why isn't it taller? I am the kind of person who wants the built environment that I live in to be impactful. So I see this that was my first thought. My thought, as you've shown these views, are that as a pedestrian and a cyclist, that they do enhance the pedestrian in the environment generally, and I too am concerned about an open space on a wide road. I think that design guidelines are good to follow, but they're guidelines and not rules. And I actually think my experience is enhanced with this type of building here at this corner. And I also note that the flats has open space at the corner. And so it really, to get an impression of your building, you need to see how it relates to the experience from that corner of the flats, which has some open space. And I think it works well together. My concern with all of the buildings in downtown Bethesda and with the master plan is that we don't take advantage of alleyways. And I think that alleyways would help with the widespread concern about impacts of loading docks and parking garage entrances. And they would also enhance the pedestrian experience by giving us alternative routes to permeate the downtown. I would say finally that my plan for my lifestyle as a firefighter and retired now is been in my career and now in retirement is to rent rooms in my house. And who do I rent them to? NIH researchers. So this is creating affordable housing by creating that market for shared housing. I'm all for this kind of project and this kind of growth.
All right. Well, we could do a straw vote. All those that feel like they would be able to support the project moving forward, you could say yes or raise your hand.
And also just to be clear, this is only a sketch plan. So.
And they do their straw vote at sketch. And
no,
then
I understand,
they do,
but, it's, mm-hmm. but it's 10 points. The
We're,
question and answer
this
is
not on points. This is just a straw vote on support. So the panel asked at our last meeting that they just do a vote on support of the project. And then we'll ask about benefit points as well, which is a separate issue as well. Thank you, though, for bringing that up.
So asking you,
raising hands.
So you can raise hands. All of those that would support this project moving forward as a straw vote, raise your hand. And those that would be opposed moving forward, supporting
well,
the project.
I support the project. I just would like to see conformance with the guidelines.
Okay, great. And then in terms of whether or not the project would meet at least the minimum 10 public benefit points for exceptional design in your minds. Does anyone see any red flags right now? Sounds like one was the design guidelines and that you'd like to see a diagram showing how the building would look with the design guidelines. Are there any other red flags that folks want to raise about meeting just the minimum 10?
Well, that landscaping plan,
okay.
And the canopy
plan. Oh, yeah,
we owe you a lot more detail inside plan, obviously.
Landscaping, canopy, and design guidelines. Design guidelines diagram. All right. So I think we've concluded, unless there are any other points that the panel would like to make.